heroes of civilization. Philip Drinker. Professor Philip Drinker was born in 1893 at Boston in the United States of America. He was a brilliant scholar and later entered Harvard University where he studied medicine. During 1916, an epidemic of infantile paralysis claimed hundreds of victims. Some were left hopeless cripples, and these were the fortunate ones. There were others in whom the paralysis crept up and up until it caught the chest muscles in its relentless grip. For these, the end had come unless air could be forced into their lungs by artificial respiration. Rescue squads, consisting of police and firemen, worked in shifts on the sufferers day in and day out, sometimes for weeks, and the agony they unavoidably inflicted with each thrust of the hand upon the chest of the victim was terrible to behold. Often the city gas company was called upon to give artificial respiration, and in 1927, the New York Consolidated Gas Company sent for Professor Drinker of Harvard University to attack the problem.
Gentlemen, I have called this meeting of the board of directors to meet Professor Drinker of Harvard University, who is also the public health engineer, so that we may confer together and try to find some satisfactory method of combating these epidemics of infantile paralysis which manifest themselves at intervals in our midst.
That is a very excellent suggestion, Mr. President, and I, for one, heartily endorse it.
Before proceeding, gentlemen, I will ask Professor Drinker to join us. He's in the other office. Excuse me. Oh, Smithers, ask Professor Drinker if he will kindly join us.
Thank you.
He will be with us almost immediately, gentlemen.
Splendid.
Ah, come in, Professor. Allow me to introduce the board of directors of my company. Gentlemen, Professor Drinker.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Professor Drinker, we want you to assist us, if possible, in finding a new method of applying artificial respiration where necessary. The old methods are so diabolical that death is sometimes more merciful than the treatment. Can you suggest anything that might enable us to help these unfortunate people?
Well, Mr. President and gentlemen, I have been working on a machine which I hope will solve this problem. It consists of a metal tank in which the patient lies with the head outside.
And how is the artificial respiration affected, Professor?
By alternate negative and positive air pressure within the tank, which would stimulate the natural movements of breathing.
What a godsend it would be in cases where the paralysis is prolonged. Think of the agony of the poor victims who have had to submit to the necessary torture of having heavy hands literally squeeze the air into their steel-encased lungs. For when paralysis attacks the chest muscles, it is as if the steel band were encasing it. I've seen sufferers brought to these very works for artificial respiration, and the agony they went through as the rescue squads worked on them hour after hour, day after day, was ghastly.
Well, I'm hoping my machine will do away with all that torture, gentlemen.
Then, Professor, we implore you to get this machine finished as quickly as is humanly possible. Spare no expense. We'll take care of that. Only get it finished.
The Drinker machine was completed and installed at the Children's Hospital in Boston. And later, another was placed in Peter Bent Brigham Hospital. And in 1928, a young Harvard University student was treated in it. We now find the patient almost recovered, talking to Professor Drinker and the president of the gas company.
Professor Drinker, I've got you and your wonderful machine to thank for saving my life. No one knows the agony I was in when they lifted me into that machine. The paralysis had me in its grip from my neck down. I couldn't breathe. I was choking, suffocating, dying.
Well, but you're all right now. That's the main thing. Eh?
I'll never be able to thank you enough.
This gentleman is the president of the New York Gas Company. And he's the man you should thank. His company made the Drinker machine possible.
Then thank your company from me, sir. And if it's any satisfaction to them, tell them that the Drinker machine saved me from the tortures of hell.
I'll convey your message to my company, my boy, with the greatest of pleasure. And believe me, they will be delighted to learn that the Drinker machine, which they sponsored, is proving such a boon to the victims of paralysis.
Excuse me, Professor Drinker. I have a message for you.
What is it, nurse?
Dr. Summers would like to see you immediately. It's very urgent.
I'll come at once, nurse. Will you excuse me, sir?
Certainly, my dear fellow. I'll sit here and keep our young patient company.
Professor Drinker, Dr. Summers.
Come in, Professor. Sit down, will you?
Thank you.
A young woman has just been admitted to the hospital suffering from morphine poisoning. I want to know if it will be possible to treat her in the Drinker machine.
Why, yes, Doctor. As you know, some poisons shock the chest muscles into rigidity. Artificial respiration is sometimes all that is necessary to activate them again. Is the girl very bad?
She's unconscious, and her face is discolored. In fact, she has all the appearances of death.
Then let's put her into the machine and see if it will restore her. Somehow I think it will.
The Drinker machine saved the girl's life, but hospital boards were skeptical about installing it until a dramatic incident made them realize how necessary the Drinker machine was. While supervising the installation of one of his machines in the General Hospital of San Francisco, Drinker was approached by the doctor in charge.
Professor Drinker.
Oh, hello, McMahon. What's wrong? You look as though you've heard bad news.
I have. I want your help in a very terrible decision which I must make within the next half hour. It's a decision which will affect the life of one of two people. And whichever way we decide, well, one of these two people must die.
Oh, I see. Well, if I can assist you in any way, Doctor, you have only to ask me.
Thanks, Professor. Only for the cursed prejudice which always confronts new ideas and which does its best to stifle progress both in and out of the scientific world, we would not be forced to make this tragic decision.
Does it concern the Drinker machine?
Vitally. As you know, it's the only one of its kind in the West.
Yes. And it has often occurred to me that you'd be in a ghastly position if two patients were admitted at the same time, both needing immediate treatment.
That is precisely what has happened. One is a young married man, the other is a beautiful young single girl. They are suffering with paralysis and both need immediate treatment. Drinker, we could save both of them if there was another machine within a radius of 100 miles. But there isn't. So I'm forced to make a decision as to which one I will permit to live. God help me. Whichever way it goes, well, I always feel like a martyr.
Yes, it's a frightful situation, Dr. McMahon. But we've got to face it. And if we must make a choice, then reason bids us choose the one whose responsibilities are the greatest.
Then we must choose a man.
Exactly. He has a wife and family to support.
But we can't let that poor girl die without making some attempt to save her.
We'll call every available man to the hospital and try and keep her alive by the old respiratory methods. If we fail, well, we shall have done our best.
Then come quickly. If she dies, Drinker, I'll broadcast the story through the length and breadth of America. I'll go to Washington and shaft it in the ears of the senators until they force those prejudiced old fossils off the hospital board. I'll never rest until I prove to them that the Drinker machine is not a mere gadget, as some of them term it, but an urgent necessity in the equipment of every hospital. And I won't rest until every hospital in America installs one. I only hope and pray that a human life will not have to be sacrificed. The life of that poor girl who is gasping for breath on her white bed in the ward. She whom we could save if only there was another Drinker machine somewhere in the West. They must install these machines. They shall install them.